Good evening, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, August 17th, 2008. It is now about 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. You are about to listen to an antidote to popular talk radio. Well, good evening, everyone. I'd like to ask our listeners, if they have any questions or comments, to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620 during our live broadcast. Now, you can email us at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. Also, folks, I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. Andy talks about, he's an economist, and he talks about the economic issues and how they affect you, and he takes a macroeconomic point of view so you can understand what's going on. He's the very, very best in the business. He also has a subscription service. I think it's $49 a month. And there he gives individual advice and stuff like that. He's invaluable to me. I read everything. I subscribe to his newsletters. And his online newsletter is absolutely free of charge. And it's a great way to get introduced. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. This evening, we are going to talk a little bit about the country of Georgia, the nation of Georgia, not the state of Georgia in the United States. I have to admit that I did a considerable amount of research on the country of Georgia, and I am about confused as all get out. Georgia has a very, very long, and very colorful history. I will not go through it now. First of all, I have to read most of it because there's no way that you could really appreciate the history of Georgia unless you were born there and you studied its history going all the way back, to the first couple of centuries and before 7 AD. It's been around for thousands of years. It's a very ancient city, and it has a very tumultuous history, basically, taking over by many countries. It's been a very stable country at times. It's been very instable at times. Been invaded by about everyone. Strategically, it's a very small country, folks. Georgia, I'll bet, I won't get into the geography, but it's no bigger than one of the states in the United States, basically. You know, if not smaller. I know it's much smaller than the state of Texas and Alaska, that's for sure. So it's a very, very small country. Now, Georgia's been under was one of the countries of the old Soviet Union. It does border, part of its border is on the Caspian Sea, or the Black Sea, is it? And it does have a port. Now, it borders partially on Turkey, on Uzbekistan, and a couple of other countries which I just can't rattle off the top of my head, and neither could I pronounce. It's a relatively small country, and understand this: although there are a couple of pipelines that go through there, and those pipelines were actually they were encouraged to be built in such a manner in which they actually bypassed Russia altogether. And there's a history behind that, of course, with encouragement or supervision by the United States. Another one of our interventionist policies that just was not very nice. But they also border on the on Russia itself. So you can understand that any country that borders on, that you have on a border would be of concern to you. Their stability would be of concern to you. But understand this: if there was a secession taking place right now in Mexico, if one of the city states in Mexico, San Luis Potosí, for example, and I'm just making that up, decided to secede from Mexico, and then there was internal turmoil because of that, and there was internal strife and bombing and whatever, and a war breaking out, and a civil war breaking out, I'd say most likely the United States would get involved. You know, although we shouldn't, but most likely we would get involved. And most likely we would be supporting the government of Mexico. We would not be supporting, you know, one little city state, you know, be very unusual circumstances. Now, we did do that. We did support Kosovo in its separation from the Serbians, and the Serbians were one of the last Russian strongholds, I guess, or not, I shouldn't say strongholds, but a country that was aligned with Russia of the former Yugoslavian the peninsula there. And so we sort of took sides at Kosovo. We did a lot of bombing. We killed everybody in sight. We flattened the entire city. Did a nice job, you know. And it was all because these people wanted to be free, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And how hypocritical could we be? What we have now, folks, in Georgia is we have a portion of the place, a city, a city-state, or I guess a section or a region of Georgia called South Ossetia. And South Ossetia is, and then there's also North Ossetia, which is much, much larger. And North Ossetia is basically inhabited by what we would call Russians. And that is basically part of the Russian Federation. Now, South Ossetia has never really been part of Georgia. I mean, not in whole. It's always been seceding from Georgia. It's been wanting to secede from Georgia. In fact, there was an election very recently. In fact, it was this year, in which 95% of the voting population actually showed up. 95%, over 95% of the people voted, and they basically all voted to secede from Georgia. In other words, they have very little in common with Georgia. They have the ethnicity is different. Everything is different. And they've always wanted their autonomy. And Georgia has promised their autonomy. And what they did is they sort of pulled a little bit of a faux pas on South Ossetia. Is that Ossetia? They had an agreement. And of course, France was involved because they were a neutral party and they had all these agreements. And Georgia had told that the South Ossetia that, you know, all right, we'll stop the skirmishes with you guys and the whole bit, and, you know, we'll allow you to be autonomous and we'll work things out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, after they did that, on the day of the opening day of the Olympics, when Premier Putin was in Beijing, bingo, they attacked South Ossetia, figuring that the response by Russia would be so delayed that it really would be too late to do anything and to undo things. And then South Ossetia would have to secede and then just, you know, relinquish its bid for autonomy. And that would be the end of that. And we would just say, well, you know, it's a small skirmish, small country, you know, meaningless about everybody, so just let it go. But it didn't work out that way. You see, what happened is that when Georgia invaded and bombed the heck out of the major city in South Ossetia, and I tell you the major city, folks, but I'll be honest with you, I'm going to mispronounce it, and I always do, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You know that I'm not that smart anyway, so we'll keep it that way. But They did so, but the Russians immediately responded. Now, that does not sound like anything we are listening to in our media. What we hear in our media is that the Russians have invaded Georgia. Folks, we have a real problem here in the United States. The corporate-dominated media is now controlling everything that we hear. This is George Orwell, 1984, all over again. Everything that we are hearing and looking at on television, listening on radio, regarding this war is not the truth. It's only half-truth. Obviously, if someone invaded the shores of the United States and we retaliated, would you hear the headlines, United States attacks this foreign country? No, they were defending themselves. Now, the Russians went in there because the Russians wanted to defend their borders, and they were for the autonomy of South Ossetia. And now, it goes much deeper than that. You see, at the breakup of the Soviet Union, instead of the United States just leaving things be and having everything occur naturally and having everyone say, no, we had to put our 2 cents and we had to start building bases in all of the countries of the former Soviet Union. I mean it. I mean, look it up. We have bases in most of the former Soviet Unions. One was close. One of them, and I mispronounced it, so I won't give it to you again, but we just recently closed a base there. We had a base there for years. Now, you recall when the Russians established a military base or missile base in Cuba. Do you remember the Cuban missile crisis? Almost accounted for World War III. Now, you can imagine that if in Mexico, there was a country that wanted to secede from Mexico, and the Russians went in there and supplied humanitarian aid to that country in the form, and all of a sudden, Russian ships or Chinese ships or some other foreign ships were on the coast of Mexico, and military troops were being unloaded, but they were just there for humanitarian reasons. What do you think our response would be? We would go ballistic. I mean, there would be an instant third world war. But, you know, it's okay when we do it to them. So at the fall of the Soviet Union, Georgia wanted to do things their way. Of course, they didn't want to be part of the Soviet Union anymore. So then they applied for, they started strengthening their ties to the West. Now, it said, and I have no way of proving this, that the present president of Georgia is really there because of us. Now, I don't know what involvement we had, but apparently we had some involvement in that. And apparently he is a brutal leader. He has been voted in. They have a democratic republic, you know. He has been voted in, but apparently he's kind of a brutal guy. Now, what he did, our ambassador now, in Georgia, I believe now is heading up the campaign for McCain. Now, this is like a soap opera, and of course now McCain is saying that, you know, we shouldn't allow the Russians to come in and you know, take over Georgia, and we're looking at the former Soviet Union trying to resurrect itself, and none of that is the truth. Now you have to understand that McCain's political livelihood is based on his war record, his experience in the military, and it behooves him if there is a military confrontation somewhere, so that people would get kind of nervous and say, well, you know, under these uncertain times, we can't vote for Obama, we can't vote for Barr, we better vote for McCain because, you know, he has experience in the military and he'll be tough with Russia, and, you know, we don't want the communist Russia to take us over. All this garbage. And many people think that this is a neocon ploy. Now, I don't know if that's the truth, but that's what's being written. But it certainly makes sense because there were a lot of ties between Georgia and the United States. Now, the United States has now launched well over 1,000 military personnel, but they're peacekeepers, you know, the humanitarian peacekeepers. They're not soldiers, you know, but many of them from Blackwater. In other words, they're contract military people. Makes it even worse, right? And we also have U.S. warships docking, you know, on the shores of the ports of Georgia. Now, we are talking the difference between where our warships are and Russia is. You can walk it. I mean, it is that close. I mean, we can walk that. It's just a very, very short distance. Now, you can imagine if on the Mexican border or the Canadian border, Newfoundland, for example, though a host of Russian ships, military vessels, you know, ported. You know, we would go bananas over that. But yet, you know, we do it with impunity. Now, we are just ratcheting up tensions needlessly. Now, that's basically the gist of the whole thing. Here are my problems. Number one, if a nation, if a part of a country wants to secede, and all the people in that area want to secede from that country, they should do so. Listen to our Declaration of Independence. Here, right at the very, very first page on the Declaration of Independence. Now, this is our founding fathers writing this. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal status to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Now, that's just the first part. In other words, they're saying in our Declaration of Independence, it says it comes time when the people of one nation, of one area, decide that it is no longer to their best interest to be part of another nation or to be controlled by another nation. It's time to part. And that's what we did with England. In other words, we are a nation of patriots. If anything, we should be siding with South Ossetia. Now, I don't know why we're not. Well, I know why we're not, because we want to establish a military base in Georgia, and the strategy has been is to put, when we have, and it's been, we've been successful in putting military bases in all of the nations of the former Soviet Union surrounding the Soviet Union. And then in the Eastern Bloc, of course, Poland now is getting missiles, and Russia's beside themselves for having missiles. Why they need missiles is beyond anyone's, other than, you know, they'll be under our control, basically, you know. So what we do is it's a power play of the United States where we eventually are going to totally surround Russia with military bases and missiles. You know, and believe me, I don't know why we do this, but that's part of the strategy. That's part of being an empire, and that's how wars start. You know, World War I started that way, and we still don't know exactly how World War I or why it really started and why all the nations got involved. But it started on a small incident, and this can be the same thing all over again. There is no reason in the world for us to be there, and in fact, if we're going to be there, as I said before, we should be. We should be supporting the that part of the country that wants to secede, because that's our heritage. And yet we're supporting the quasi-dictator who runs the main country. Now, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, that's number one. Number two is I am so disappointed in all of our media outlets. It seems like the only place that you can get news that's anywhere reliable or get down and dig down to the basis of everything is if you get on the internet. I mean, if you go to ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Headline News, CNBC News, Fox News, they're all the same. They're all telling the same story. How come no one is saying anything about it? This is what we should be real concerned about, is that our news media is not providing us with news. This is George Orwell stuff. We are just being fed information, and if you ask the average man on the street, what will you hear?
well, we got to go there because the Russians are going to take over, man. They shouldn't do that.
Well, let's assume for a second, Mr. Dummy, that the Russians were taking over Georgia again. It's none of our damn business. It's none of our business. It may be the business of the world community, and that's when the UN gets involved. But it's not our business, and we've made it our business again. And every country around the world where we think that there is some sort of strategic interest, whether it be oil or military, or both, we poke our nose in, and then we establish a base, and we cause tension. And the result is usually the death and destruction of cities, and the destruction of cities, and the death of thousands and thousands of innocent people. Now, how we can say we're a peace-loving nation when we are sending troops to every damn nation in the world every time someone does something we particularly don't like? You know, we were a country, we're here, we're isolated from all of this. We have two oceans. We have the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, that isolates us from all of that noise, all of the squabbles and all of the conflicts and all of the stuff that we don't want to hear. And what do we hear in the news every day? We don't hear anything about us. We hear something about some foreign nation, usually on the other side of the earth. Listen to the news. How much does it have to do with New Jersey, Wyoming, Kansas? No, it's Saudi Arabia, it's Syria, it's Iraq, it's Afghanistan, Pakistan, China, the country of Georgia, Russia. You know, man, I mean, but why are we involved? Why aren't the other countries involved? Why isn't France and Germany? Why aren't they sending troops if it's that important? Why aren't why isn't Turkey concerned? Turkey's just a few feet away from the place, and you think they would be sending troops to protect their border. They're not concerned. But we have to be concerned, and we're halfway around the world. Folks, we have a real serious problem with this empire, and it's going down the tubes. If you want to know why the price of gold and silver continues to go up, and I know it's down now, but just hold on to your hats. It's going to skyrocket soon. Because the second that things get a little shaky and they realize that our currency ain't worth squat anymore, no one wants to take it, gold will be exponentially higher than it is now. And it's all because we have an empire that cannot control itself. So we're violating the very tenets of our own Declaration of Independence. We have a news media that is telling us practically nothing. I mean, giving us uninformation, disinformation, and we have a populace that doesn't even inquire. I mean, and the politicians know that. They're lying to us. And yet we listen to this and we absorb it, and then we just regurgitate it all over again. And then we'll probably vote in somebody like McCain because he's strong on defense. And we don't even know what that means, strong on defense. Why would defense be going halfway around the world? How much money did it cost to send over a thousand troops there? And all those ships there with supplies and humanitarian aid and, you know, supplies and probably armament and whatever. How much did that cost us? And for what reason? And we're on the wrong side. And now we have the former ambassador to the... No, he's not the ambassador. I'm sorry. I forgot what his title. But anyway, he worked in Georgia, and now he's on McCain's payroll. Folks, we have a real, real problem. And I am very, very... You know, I've been frightened before. The Cuban Missile Crisis was a frightening experience. I was old enough to remember that. And we've had, you know, Vietnam was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I mean, it was horrible, but it wasn't frightening because probably a world war was not going to break out because of that. This one frightens me, and it should frighten everyone. And we should reject anyone who gives us sanitized news, politicians who give us these, you know, little quips that sort of answer everything, and this good guy, bad guy. Of course, we're the good guy, the Russians are the bad guy, and they call about the Russian bear bearing down on all of those former Soviet unions, you know, trying to resurrect its empire. That's a bunch of garbage. There's no such intent to do so. And now Georgia wants to join NATO, and the United States is pushing that referendum. And you know what that means? If Georgia joins NATO, and Russian troops are defending South Ossetia, that means we are, quote, obligated to support, you know, that country, because they're part of the NATO alliance, and so are we, and then we'll send troops, and we, quote, could say, well, we have to live up to our commitments. My goodness gracious. My goodness. They should disband NATO. There's no need for it, folks. I can go on about this. The history of Georgia is quite colorful. If you go online, you'll find I have about 100 pages that I was reading about Georgia, and I couldn't repeat it all just because it's just too complicated, and you have to study it. I read it; it was interesting, but I couldn't retain it all. But we shouldn't. My point is that we shouldn't simplify situations like this. I mean, we shouldn't just say, "Oh, these guys are bad; these guys are good. We're with the good guys, and we're gonna beat up the bad guys." That's just stupid. That's typical American stupidity, by the way. I wanted to mention there really is no true strategic significance to the country of Georgia. It is very, very small. Its port is very small. The pipelines that it has are relatively insignificant. You know, it would be a nice place to have a missile base, which is probably what we want, and that's about it. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. But Georgia should be on our mind, but we shouldn't be listening to mainstream news. You should be listening to the news. We should be reading news from the Information Clearinghouse and other places like that. In fact, do look at the Information Clearinghouse on the web, and do financially support them. They do an excellent job of getting news from around the world and telling us what really is going on. They're very, very helpful to me, and I do encourage them. I do encourage you to subscribe to there. Okay, well, we didn't get any callers tonight, which I'm a little disappointed on. This is our next live broadcast will be Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. I don't know what the subject will be. We'll wait. Maybe it'll be another current event we'll talk about, but maybe we'll just continue to talk about the situation in Georgia as it progresses. What we'll do is we'll end this today's broadcast, because it's about time. I only said about a half hour to broadcast today. But we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. That's the free life. Folks, embrace it. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.